You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Daniel Holdings, who's written a fascinating book, which I just finished reading. Daniel, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited.
Well, tell me, is it The Descending Darkness? What's the exact title?
As the Darkness Falls.
As the Darkness Falls. And basically, of course, it said in the book that you were a successful businessman. Are you still doing business, or are you spending full-time writing?
Actually, I'm spending full-time writing. I'm sort of semi-retired now. I was, at one time, in the financial industry, and I know that you are very well versed in the financial industry, and one of the things that actually led me to get out of that business was a man by the name of G. Edward Griffin. He wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, as you know, and I read that book, and I was faced, and it's interesting, your opening monologue, I was faced with reality, what really was going on in the financial world. And based upon what I knew, I could no longer participate. So I gradually transitioned out of that and moved on and began writing full time. And so that's what I do these days.
Well, I want you to know that I ordinarily don't read novels. I just don't like them. But after reading the first page of your book, I was hooked. And it was fascinating. I read the book during the 2 days I was away and visiting our family in the East. Fascinating book with tremendous insight that you have about what's really going on in the world. So why don't you tell our listeners about your book, why your book is so vitally important, especially at this time. Incidentally, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm not. I'm on a landline.
Okay, very good. Well, you just tell our listeners what is the general theme of your book, and why is it so important that they understand what you've written? And of course, I will verify what you say. Go right ahead.
Well, as the darkness falls, first of all, Dr. Stan, I really do have to tell you, I am just a donkey. I always say this, I'm Balaam's donkey. I believe the Lord gave me that book, and those truths that are hidden in those pages are not my truths, they're His truths. He needs all the credit for that. As the Darkness Falls is the second in a series featuring the character, as you know, Dr. Bryce Cooper. He's the hero. He wasn't always the hero. He's the guy that worked at the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, Switzerland, in the first novel, and he came to an understanding of what reality really was, as you so aptly mentioned. And what happens as the darkness falls is he begins to be educated in the truth that he was forced to face in the first book. There's a character in the new book, and the character's name in the book is Steve Quayle. Now, many of your listeners may know Steve Quayle. I did know Steve Quayle before I actually wrote him in the book. I asked his permission to let me put him in the book, but with some of his insights, what the hero was able to do is to begin to piece together the reality of the world that we see around us. And so that's the gist of As the Darkness Falls.
Well, I'm going to ask you to hang up, and I'm going to have my secretary call you back, and I'm going to ask our secretary or producer to call back Daniel as soon as we disconnect him here, because I really want our listeners to be able to see and hear very, very clearly what he has to say. This is an important book, ladies and gentlemen. The information is fascinating.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Daniel has done a wonderful job of describing what's really going on today in the background of a fascinating novel. But, of course, you know, as you listen to our programs, you know that I believe, I know that there is a group of people out there who are running the world, and certainly, now, basically, what's so interesting about Daniel's book is that when this group was first formed, we know what they were called themselves. Well, they didn't want to give themselves a name because they felt if they gave themselves a name, then people would be able to identify them. So they simply called themselves the group or us. Those were the two names that that they used. How do we know this? Well, Professor Quigley had had information from one of the members of the inner part of the secret society. How do I know we had information? Because I went back when Professor Quigley died and went through his papers at Georgetown University before they had the chance to shred them, and I got all the letters that he had written to Professor Zimmern, who was an Oxford professor, who had part and parcel of this secret society, and certainly the information is laid out in Professor Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment. And incidentally, when I went back in 1980, The Anglo-American Establishment book had not been written. I found part of the original manuscript of it among his papers, and then the following year, somebody actually got the book published. I've tried to get that gentleman onto my radio program. He's frankly afraid to come on the radio program for fear, of course, retaliation for exposing what, of course, Daniel in his book calls the group. And that was actually the name that they used. This was the original secret society that was formed to create a world government, to bring world peace by creating war after war after war. And, of course, they created the Boer War, and then they created World War I. And after the fiasco of that and losing so many of the aristocracy of Great Britain, they turned the leadership over to America. They formed the Royal Institute for International Affairs in the Great Britain and throughout the Commonwealth nations. And here in America, the Council on Foreign Relations formed in 1921. Later on, they formed the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, but they are still the very core of this movement towards world government. And Daniel does a good job. He doesn't go into a lot of the detail, but there's no question he names the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, as the major force in the group. But, of course, the most important thing you'll learn reading that is that there is another group behind this, and that is called the Others. And many of the people in the group don't even really understand what the Others is, who they are. Would that be a fair statement, Daniel?
Dr. Stan, it's only a fair statement. I think that is an accurate statement. You know, you made chills go down my spine, and I'll tell you what, this is another example of me being just a donkey, a mouthpiece for the Lord, and putting down in ink those things that he gives me. I'm going to tell you, I did not know that that group was called the group when I wrote the book. I didn't know that. You just taught me something. Isn't that interesting? the others, I think this is an important delineation between the two parties, the group and the others. The others, now I know that you are friends with Pastor Doug Riggs, and one of the things that I began to understand when I first woke up 3 or 4 years ago was the power, and I'm just going to use this word here, the power of the Nephilim behind the scenes. And the Nephilim, for your listeners that understand who the Nephilim are, or that don't understand, I should say, the Nephilim are the offspring of fallen angels and mankind. Now, the Nephilim is listed in Genesis 6, and we see them throughout the Old Testament interacting with mankind. And if you do enough digging, you can find it. There's plenty of information out there. We don't want to use the whole time that we have to go over exactly what the Nephilim are. But what I believe has occurred is that the Nephilim now, I heard something very interesting. In fact, I think it was Pastor Rick that was talking about this, that at one time the Illuminati, or the New World Order, who was on the inside, and the Nephilim was empowering them, now found themselves as about, I don't know, probably 15 to 20 years ago, on the outside looking in. And now it was the Nephilim, or what I call the others, actually pulling the strings that we see. So this is an important characterization, because when we see those things that are going on in the world, we can get angry at the Bilderberg group, we can protest Agenda 21 all we want to, we can talk about how ugly the New World Order is and point out the fact they are driving everyone to give up their guns and give up their freedoms, and they're going to put us all in FEMA camps. And I'm not disputing any of those things. All those things are relatively accurate to one degree or another. But the fact is, if all we focus on are those physical things, you are missing the spiritual things that you talked about. Because, Dr. Stan, I believe that we are getting ready, or we are already seeing, I should say, things that are manifesting in our own dimension, if you will, in our own environment, that do not make sense. And the closer that we get to the end of that timeline that you were speaking about, we will begin to see crazy things that we just cannot understand. Now, for those that look at these things befalling the earth, or those that look at the motives of these evil people that are pulling the strings, if you try to look at them through earthly eyes, the human eyes, you're going to miss it, because they don't think like us, and their motives are not our motives. So I think it's an important division that we make between the others and the group. The group are people. The group are humans, and I do believe they exist. We call them the New World Order, the Illuminati. The others are there's a spiritual dimension to them that give them a great deal of power and a great deal of authority in the world that we live, and they are ultimately responsible for the things that we now see befalling the earth. Now, that may sound kind of crazy to your listeners, but not only is it true, it's biblical, and I think you'd probably agree with me.
Well, I do, absolutely. In fact, everything, you really can't understand what's going on today unless you understand the prophecies. And so many of the things that are taking place today really don't make sense. Why would we have toppled all of our allies over there in the Near East and the Middle East? And Egypt was always a strong ally of America, certainly Tunisia. I mean, we even did arranged a situation as far as Libya was concerned. Why are we overthrowing the Syrian government? Are we going to bring democracy to these countries and improve the lots of the people? No, the people are far worse off in Egypt today and in Tunisia and in Libya than they were under their previous rulers. And certainly we've created nothing for those last year but chaos. And in Syria, there are over 200,000 Syrians have fled. And certainly tens of thousands have been slaughtered. Why? Because you and I are financing with our tax money. The CIA is behind this whole revolution that's taking place in Syria today. And so we've already taken Turkey into the Muslim Brotherhood, Lebanon's in the Muslim Brotherhood. Now both Sunni Afghanistan and Iraq are controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. Why are we turning all of these countries over to our enemies? Very simply, because we're preparing for a war with the Muslim world. How do we know that? Because we've read the Bible, and if you certainly read certainly Ezekiel 38 and 39, you can understand exactly what's going on. Now, certainly if I was part and parcel of this group that really controls the world financially, I would simply do things very slowly. But the other side, as Daniel brings out so well in his book, is operating certainly on a timetable. It's not my timetable. It's not the group's timetable. It's God's timetable. Thus, certainly, as he refers to them as the others. And these are the people who really have a supernatural bent to them. And I think it's so hard for people to realize that we live in a material world, but there is a mystical world out there. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. We live in a tangible world, but there is an intangible world out there. And there is another dimension. Would you agree to that, Daniel?
Not only would I agree, Dr. Stan, my first book, if I may, my first book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, what God had put on my heart is exactly what you said, that we live in this physical 3D dimension. Now, for your listeners that may not understand what that means, 3D, it means three-dimensional. It means height, it means width, and it means depth. We have height, we have width, and we have depth. Now, Einstein also theorized that time was the fourth dimension. So we actually live in the 4D world, but you don't really hear that too much. So there are four dimensions that we actively participate in our physical walls. It means in our physical world. It means that we can't walk through walls. We don't translate from one place to another. We're bound by time. We're bound by the physicalities that we live in. So naturally, when we see things happen, we try to categorize that according to our physical mind. Okay, how does this work? Have I seen this before? And how can I pigeonhole this so I can understand it? But the problem is that we're running into issues where we've never seen these things and never experienced them. Therefore, we cannot understand it. And I hear your music. So when we get back from the break, I want to go into a little bit more detail on how the physical world is actually explained in M-theory or physics and how that translates to spiritual doctrine and spiritual explanation.
And that's why this book is really so very important, because it goes beyond what most people do and gets in not only into the political, but into the spiritual. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. The visit timetable, ladies and gentlemen, we're not privy to that timetable, but there are mystical forces working behind the scenes, preparing for the demise of our nation. Daniel, you go right.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 4295. His book is Darkness Falls, and it's a fascinating book because, of course, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, we're moving into a very, very dark period. Now, Daniel makes the point that there are 10 dimensions. I've talked to scientists who tell me that there are 10 dimensions. I can think of 2 dimensions, maybe 3 dimensions, maybe 4 dimensions, if Einstein is right that time is a dimension. But you talk to scientists today, and they will tell you there are 10 dimensions. They're not talking about the spiritual dimensions that Daniel talks about, but of course, reading the scriptures, we hear about all these other dimensions. And really, of course, there are, if you believe in the Bible, it talks about how Jesus was able to walk on water. He was able to command the storms. He was able to bring people back from the dead. He was able to himself be killed and then go to hell and then come back again. How could that possibly be? I mean, is it a story or is this real? Well, if it's real and you believe Christianity, you believe the Bible, then, of course, there has to be a supernatural element to what is going on because it doesn't make sense from the logical point of view from the material world we live in. And I believe that there is an invisible certainly spiritual world out there. We see manifestations of it. I've never seen a UFO, but I know people who have. My wife has seen one. She and her father watched it for half an hour as it just hovered in the sky and then put out a little satellite UFO and then just simply whisked away and disappeared. And certainly we see these manifestations, the crop circles. If you read the occult literature as I do, I mean, they're very well aware of the crop circles, these magnificent designs, well, many times much more commonly in England than here in the United States. These magnificent designs, it could never be made by hoaxers. Certainly we see spontaneous combustion. We see the animal mutilations where suddenly a farmer comes out, his cow has been cut open, they've taken out the heart, perhaps the reproductive organs. We hear the stories from people who've been abducted by aliens. There's one professor back at Harvard who's kept record on 5,000 of them. This is not imaginary. All these people tell very, very similar stories. We know people who we've come in contact with who have also very, very similar stories. Now, you may never actually have a supernatural experience. You've heard me tell the story of going to visit Joyce Riley, and she showed me the stone that had been taken by a major general who led the special forces for the military. And they were, of course, what they were doing. The special forces was deeply involved in the occult and tapping into the other dimension. And he had taken this spoon, it was her spoon, and twisted it into a circle. Now, I was, at that time when I saw the spoon, I was still fairly strong, and there was no way any human being was able to bend that spoon. But, of course, it had been done the day before. This is the sort of thing that the people tap into the other dimension for the supernatural ability to do things. And you must understand, as things get worse today, to understand that behind everything going on, from the political and financial and cultural changes in our society, are powerful spiritual forces. Our guest is Daniel Holdings. Daniel, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. You know, the tagline for the new book, As Darkness Falls, the tagline is nothing as it seems. I'm going to say that again. Nothing is as it seems. Now, that's a tagline not only for the book and the characters in that book. That's a tagline that the Lord gave me for us today. Because, Dr. Stan, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, it's very interesting. When you look back, I remember when Ronald Reagan was president, and he spoke, and I know you know the story well, he spoke at the United Nations, and as he spoke to the United Nations, he made a very, very strange statement. He's talking to the world body, and he said something like, you probably could quote it better than I, but he said something like, you know, if we were attacked by some alien force, all of humanity would join together as one and combat that force, and we would do away with war and all this other stuff. Now, that's important because I think as we enter into these days, and nothing, you need to remember, nothing is as it seems, we are going to see some of those very same things, and you need to remember that in the back of your mind.
And, Chris, basically, things are going to get so bad that people will begin looking for a leader. And, of course, the leader is already there. The leader is not the person who's going to save us. This is going to be the Antichrist. This is all planned. This is not happening by accident. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. The book is The Darkness Falls. It was Darkness Falls. Fascinating, fascinating book.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
This is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Daniel is simply saying that if we try to fight this battle with political ideas and using simply certainly our intellect and our effort to change society, that we're somehow going to have a profound impact. This is just very short-sighted. We're involved in a spiritual battle that is being played out on a political battlefield, and Daniel brings this out certainly beautifully in his book, and I'm not going to give you all the details of the book. I will tell you that after you've read page number one of this book, you will be hooked as I was. Now, we do have a caller. We'll get to Dwayne calling from Spokane in just a moment, and once again, I'll put out our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you have a question or comment for our guest. But before we go on, Daniel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book, As the Darkness Falls. Go ahead. How can they get copies of your book?
Well, As the Darkness Falls and 3 Days in the Belly of Beast are available on my website. And my website is www.daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, holdings.com. D-A-N-I-E-L, Holdings, H-O-L-D-I-N-S, .com. It's also available on Amazon, if you will bear with me, I wanted to provide your listeners with a discount. I had it written down. Here it is right here. One of the things that I wanted to do for your listeners for that new book, it just came out, and normally I wouldn't do this, but for your listeners, if they go to my website, danielholdings.com, and they click on the buy now or the buy the books, icon there, when you're moving to the page where you actually buy the book, if you put in this code is 8, V as in Victor, F as in Frank, B as in boy, A as in apple, X as in X-ray, B as in boy, B as in boy, you will get a 10% discount on that book.
And it's give that one more time.
It's 8, V as in Victor, F as in Frank, B as in boy, A as in apple, X as in X-ray, B as in boy, B as in boy, and it will give you a 10% discount. So you put that discount code when it asks for discount code when you're purchasing the book, and it will give you that discount.
Okay, well, let's go to Duane, who's calling us from Spokane. Hi, Duane, how are we doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I was listening, and I wanted to ask about, kind of two quick things, and I'll hang up and let you guys answer. One was in eastern Montana when I lived over there. I remember one night I'd seen a pretty wide, I'd say maybe 30, 40 foot wide strip of red light that was kind of at an arch over the Yellowstone River. And to this day, I had one person with me that saw it, and I still couldn't figure it out if anybody had ever heard of seen something like that or not. But and then the second thing was, as far as all the spiritual stuff and all these things, I'm kind of at a state of intense confusion because I've been looking into the interested in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I'm really kind of stumped, and I'm just wondering if maybe you guys could shed some light on this.
Are you a Christian, Duane? Do you consider yourself a Christian? Have you accepted, the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you certainly given your life to Him and asked Him to direct your life? Or are you in a position yet, understanding sufficiently, that you're willing to surrender your life to our Lord?
I actually had when I was younger, when I was about 13, and my life drastically changed, but I ended up kind of walking away, and now I'm trying to return to Him.
Well, if you listen to our program, hopefully by will, it's that you'll find enough facts here that will direct you back to the Lord. You're eventually going to have to get down your knees and just say, Lord, take over, because I can't do this on my own. I can't do it on my own. Basically, I do what I do because I'm trying to lead people to the Lord, and certainly you can do exactly the same thing. You don't have to have a radio program, but first of all, you have to have that personal belief yourself. If you look at the world today, much of what's going on just doesn't make sense. I mean, why would people vote for Barack Obama, for a second term? They didn't, actually. He lost the election. There was fraudulent all across the country. Fraudulent elections. Certainly Romney wasn't much better than Obama, but it was all fraudulent. But there are powerful spiritual forces behind that. Of course, nobody's even talking about the fraud in the elections anymore. The elections were just a few weeks ago. Understand, Sydney, why in heaven's name do we have American troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world? It's all part of using America to bring about this world government. But these things were all prophesied thousands of years ago. And certainly I fear very much that if you read the prophecies, why, of course, America is not mentioned in the final days, which means something terrible is going to happen to our country, and that's why you're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to get through the very difficult times that are coming today. Daniel, what would you say to Duane, who's obviously has some problems, returning to the religion of his youth, and how do you think your book would help him to understand the true spiritual nature of what's going on?
Well, Dwayne, first of all, I want to say thank you, because your concerns and your questions are probably the same that many listeners have, and they haven't voiced that for fear of looking foolish or sounding religious or whatever the case may be. One of the things that you need to understand, and all of us need to understand, and when I said I'm not really a religious guy, I mean that. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, is a real person. Although I don't see him, he is a real person. And just like any person, you can have a personal relationship with him. But it doesn't take, as Dr. Stan said, a radio show to do that. And it doesn't even take a church to do that. Dwayne, it simply takes you talking to him and acknowledging who he is and asking him to forgive you for everything. You know, we use this word sins, and it seems like that little four-letter word seems so big. But that's just basically saying, God, I know who I am. I know what I've done, and I know you know what I've done. So please forgive me. I accept, now this is important, Dwayne, I accept what you did on the cross. And an amazing thing will happen, Dwayne, and I guarantee you that, along with all the other listeners on the show, Christ will make himself real to you if you ask him to. So Dr. Stan is absolutely right. That's the first thing. But I want to clarify something. My books are not religious. Would you say that they are religious books, Dr. Stan? Dr. Stan?
If I was an agnostic and read your books, I would certainly be looking for an answer to the problems that you put forward, because they're very real, and they're not imaginary, it's not fiction. What you're doing is taking certainly what is going on today and trying to make some sense out of it. But certainly I hope that your book, as well as my radio programs, will lead people who are searching into a personal relationship with our Lord. No, your book would not be considered religious, but it takes people along the path that I went, when I was certainly looking to find reasons, explanations for what was going on in the world. And you begin looking, and eventually, of course, you stumble onto the fact that this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield. So from that point of view, your book would point people towards our Lord. Anything else you wanted to say there, Dwayne? Another question or comment?
No, I appreciate it, and thank you for your program. Thank you both for your time, and God bless you guys. Take care.
And basically, the book is well worthwhile getting. I promise you, after you've read the first page of the book, you'll be hooked. You'll want to finish the whole story, okay? It's really very, very good. Thanks very much for calling, Dwayne. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But of course, certainly we're moving into a very, very difficult time here in America. We're moving into a very difficult time financially, because basically they tell us the economy is getting better. Things are going to improve. Well, we might have another fiscal cliff. I mean, are things going to get better? We're going to have a fiscal cliff? I can tell you one way or the other, things are going to get far worse. There's no way in the world we can continue having our government spend 40 cents out of every dollar is borrowed. You can't do that. And of course, if we do not stop massive spending, soon it'll be 50 cents out of every dollar that'll be borrowed, and then 60 cents out of every dollar that'll be borrowed, and then 70 cents out of every dollar that will be borrowed. Why should we be worried about that? After all, if things are good today, I mean, certainly there on Black Friday, tremendous numbers of people out there buying things. We are a material society, ladies and gentlemen. We should be a society that's on our knees asking for God's forgiveness, but people have forgotten, of course, that we have what we have because God has given it to us, and I very much fear that God is going to allow us to continue living a wonderful, simply immoral material life until suddenly this whole thing collapses. And it's not a matter, in my estimation, of if, but when. And I think if you read Daniel's book, you find it's going to be far sooner than most people imagine. Daniel, you pick up the story. Again, our number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Daniel.
Well, just to touch on the last the first question that Dwayne asked was about UFOs in Montana. Dwayne, if you're still listening, the character, it's interesting you say that because the character is from Montana. And I know the area well. It's a beautiful place. And I've actually heard people talk about UFOs in that area. But, you know, Dr. Stan, you touched on something very, very interesting. And you know, I sometimes think we belong to a society that is just sleepwalking through everything. And you mentioned how this is why I love your show, because you're bold enough to say such a thing. How could you have the chutzpah to tell the truth? I just don't understand. One of the things you said is that the election was stolen. You said this has been proved out, and I have said this since the end of the first night of the election, that the numbers just didn't work out. When you have 108% in the District of Philadelphia being going to Barack Obama, how can that not be falsified? When you have over 100% in Ohio, which was the swing state, the linchpin, going to Obama, that's not possible. And yet, what you have are the politicos just brushing it aside and saying, no, you know, we have a president, let's just go this way. And I will make this bold statement, and I don't have any inside information in case you got any government people listening. I don't know. I don't talk to anybody. I don't have any sources. It's just stuff off the top of my head. But I will tell you this. I believe that Romney was never supposed to win that election. It wasn't the case. It has been set up from the beginning for Obama to be the president for 8 years, if not longer. And that should make some of your listeners cringe. But I really do mean that. Because they are working on a plan, and that plan doesn't entail switching leaders in the middle of it. They're happy with him. He does what he's told, and so they're moving forward with it. So, and you know, when you look at the lack of protests from Romney, and you're right, you know, I wasn't crazy about Romney, but he was better than the guy we have in there now. He didn't put up any protests whatsoever. So that's my first point that I want listeners to understand. This is planned. This is not a coincidence. This is not them stealing the election and all of us saying, no, they can't. No, it's not the way it's working. This is planned. That's my first point. My second point, you talked about the fiscal cliff. Now, people do not understand this. The fiscal cliff that we are facing is just not raising the debt limit. You know, it's just not Congress doing their thing. It is the implosion of the dollar. The dollar is the world's currency. If the dollar implodes, you can bet your bottom dollar that the world's currency or the world will be hurt because its world's currency is no longer the reserve currency of the world. So what are they going to do? At the same time, you have Europe imploding. And when I say Europe is imploding, you know, I heard, I think it was on your show just not too recently, that Belgium, I think it was Belgium, has already folded, and people don't understand it. You have Greece that is already getting ready to go bankrupt. You have Spain, where there are massive protests. You have, and down in Argentina, okay, let's go to South America. Argentina is up in arms about their fiscal situation. China, there are rumors that in spite of all the gold that they are buying, that their numbers have been, because it's a communist country, the numbers have been so forged and fake that they are getting, their economy is now shrinking and getting ready to implode. I read today that Japan as we know it is no longer exists. That is, it will never be what it once was. Now, we are seeing the implosion not only of the U.S. economy, but the world economy as well. So what does that mean? What does that mean to the world? Well, not only, folks, does it mean a recession, it will mean a worldwide depression that makes 1926 look like a walk in the park. Because what comes out of this implosion is a worldwide government and a worldwide currency. And that's not Daniel Holding saying this. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. So we see in the physical, we see Agenda 21. We see the Bilderbergs, or the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. We see them pulling the strings. We see hatred and anger and ugliness like we've never seen before rising its ugly head on the earth. The evil that is now permeating our societies is stunning. And if we were to take an honest step back, it would be worse than any science fiction movie that we've ever seen, because it's happening in real time and it's happening in real life.
And you know, the hardest thing, most Americans, as we live here in the comfort of our home, can't imagine that today over 200,000 people have fled from Syria. So they've lost most of what they have. Many of them have been killed, lost their children. And this is all because of our policies of our government. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the American CIA, it is the American Special Forces that are financing this whole revolution over in Syria. And people are dying by the tens of thousands, and people lost their homes, they've lost everything. But are we worried? No, my goodness, it's Christmas season, we're going to go out and buy a lot of presents. And ladies and gentlemen, God brings his judgment upon nations that do terrible things, and America is doing terrible things. Certainly we slaughtered almost 1 million people in Iraq. Why? Because George Bush said they had weapons of mass destruction and all shucks. We found out that he was wrong. But, oh, well, those people will make mistakes, won't they? What about war crimes? Certainly, a meeting this last weekend, they're talking about certainly all throughout the world declaring criminals, people like Dick Cheney and George Bush, and you'll never read it in American papers. Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger, because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan Daniel. We're going to let you go, but before you go, I want you to get out your website one more time so people can get copies of your book.
Okay, the website is www.danielholdings.com. danielhiel.com. That's DanielHolding.com. And again, don't forget the code that I gave you. You can get 10% off of that when you use it. But more importantly, there are great links on there that you can jump to and a lot of help that will do you good. I wish you and all of your listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
God bless you, Daniel. We'll probably get you onto our other programs and other programs as well. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Okay, fine. That was Daniel Holdings as Darkness Falls. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, darkness is falling over our nation. Now, certainly the heat refers to this people who are working behind the scenes as the group. But he also refers to another group. And he calls them the others. Well, of course, the group is the Brotherhood of Darkness, and the others are the spiritual forces, and certainly many of them supernatural, working behind the scenes. He does a beautiful job of putting this together, and I recommend the book to you. And then, of course, certainly if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And certainly if you haven't read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that Daniel had actually read, and that's why he left the financial field, The Creature from Jekyll Island, we have that book. We have my talks, and they're on DVDs. They were done, half a dozen years ago or more. The Financial Tsunami, The Financial Armageddon. The two DVDs, we recommend them to you. To understand what's really going on today, and who the people are working behind the scenes, you need to get my talk. With the syllabus, of course, you get it without the syllabus, but with the syllabus, you'll have it right in front of you to analyze. It would be the Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. If you want to get into population control, certainly the fact that they are actively suppressing treatments for cancer, they're intentionally killing people all across America. You need to get my talk, Population Control, The Covert Agenda. Population Control, The Covert Agenda. Now, these are DVDs. The information is there, and you need to get it and help us to get it out. If you want to know how they're suppressing treatments for cancer, you need to get our tape set on Dr. Brzezinski. And, of course, we carry the book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Here's a man who had an effective treatment for cancer. They wanted to send him to prison for 230 years. Why did they ever suggest that his treatment didn't work? No. It was that somebody sent it across state boundaries. And so for that reason, they wanted to send Dr. Brzezinski to prison for 230 years. I'm not talking about something imaginary. It was an effective treatment for cancer. You certainly need to get the other information we have on why we still have cancer. We have a four-tape set on cancer. We have a four-tape set on Laetrile in the book, A World Without Cancer. A World Without Cancer by our friend Ed Griffin. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they kill millions of people throughout the world every year by actively suppressing the treatment for cancer. And if you doubt that, you need to get our four CD set, The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians, you get the transcript with that. It's the only one of our tape sets we have a transcript with. But you need to get it and read it and reread it and read it again, because it's based upon a talk given by Dr. Richard Day, the medical director of Planned Parenthood, explaining how they have treatments for cancer, and they're going to suppress them because there are too many people in the world, and people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And people say, who in their right mind would want, of course, to suppress treatments for cancer? The answer to that is certainly people who wanted to kill off the majority of humanity because they hate God and they hate humanity. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. And certainly, please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, of course, who's an investigative reporter who worked for 30 years in Israel, exposing the corruption at the highest levels of the government, and, of course, the fact that the Prime Minister, Rabin, was murdered, and, of course, pointing out who was responsible for that, and that corruption at every level of the Israeli government to the point where eventually there were threats against his life, and Barry was forced to move to the United States, and so we try to have him on a regular basis to keep us abreast of what's happened in the Holy Land. Barry, thank you very much for being with us.
Always my pleasure.
And what are we going to be talking about this evening? That article that you sent
out? Yeah, okay. I hope you read it.
Oh, I did. But you go right ahead and tell our listeners about what's going on over there in Israel and how all this begins to fit together, and certainly the corruption of people like Barak and Perez, and so I understand Barak, though, is going to be resigning as defense minister.
Yeah,
they're not going to run for re-election, but go right ahead with the story.
What a coincidence. He resigned from politics to spend more time with his family. Where have we heard that before? He got divorced 15 years ago. He didn't want to spend that much time with his family then, and he doesn't now. He was just a victim of this war, which Israel lost miserably. And what my article was called, I wish it weren't called this, but it was called "The Next War Will Be Israel's Last." And, well, it happened. Israel was absolutely missiled and rocketed. Formerly safe Tel Aviv and Jerusalem were under missile attack, and, well, it should never, ever have happened, putting it mildly. And I want to tell you that this article didn't just have a passing interest. My daughter and my nephew are IDF soldiers who were in the line of fire. Boy, I've been sick. All through this war, I've just been sick. But in 8 days, Israel took 1,400 missiles, if you can imagine that. Not 14. Imagine your home got 14 missiles in the last 8 days. That would be outrageous enough. Now, 1,400, and, well, let's look at what this story really is, and I think I did an okay job of explaining what happened. I hear the music.
Well, you know, there are a lot of strange things about this. First of all, although certainly you had the missiles, certainly you had a certain amount of property damage, but the number of Israelis killed was really relatively small. I certainly consider all those rockets, they're not very effective rockets. Why don't certainly Israel's enemies give Hamas, or who's ever going to be attacking Israel, rockets that can be accurately aimed at Tel Aviv or Jerusalem? And there's so many questions about what's going on today, certainly over there, that really don't make sense. I mean, if they wanted to destroy Israel, they would have accurate rockets. They don't.
They had the Fajars, the Iranian Fajars, and they landed nicely on Tel Aviv.
Well, that thought will be back in just a moment. Go right ahead. How many Israeli deaths were there? I know there were, what, about...
I think it was 7 dead and about 200 wounded.
Okay, fine. Go right ahead. And now they've signed a peace agreement. How long will that peace agreement last, do you think?
What time is it?
It's 9:05.
All right. That's the answer. Look, let's look at this story. It's not a simple story, but it's an accurate one. Now, well, the first thing you have to understand is that Israel was led by a breed of corruption so profound that no one would follow them into battle. Now, I don't know what it is, what kind of defense mechanism works that prevents people from facing the truth, but an awful lot of people, well, in my little circle, I'm telling you the numbers in the thousands. They reluctantly at first, but later on they figured out what I've been saying, that Israel is run by moral filth, and that moral filth is going to lead us to the end. Look at the war. Look at the top three leaders of the war that Israel just lost. Well, the president, Shimon Peres, amongst many, many crimes, he was the planner of the murder of Yitzhak Rabin, and I wrote an undisputed book on Peres and his plan to murder Rabin. And I wrote a book later on, well, Peres murdering, as good as murdering Ariel Sharon. To get ahead, Peres murders. Well, who was the diplomatic leader during this war who hosted the UN Secretary General, that's Ban Ki-moon, in his Jerusalem residence, but Shimon Peres. And, well, what he said, it doesn't even matter. He thanked him for coming and called him a heavyweight, and he's there to help calm the situation. It doesn't matter. The moral leader of Israel is president. You could not get a worse criminal. You couldn't get a worse murderer. Couldn't if you asked for it.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply pointing out that the current leadership of Israel is totally corrupt. Certainly the man who is the president, the moral leader of Israel, is a man named Shimon Peres. He was actually responsible for the murder of Rabin, certainly for the and for all intents and purposes, the murder of Sharon. Sharon's in a permanent coma ever since he had tea one afternoon with Shimon Peres. Peres has been involved for a long time with multiple murders and dishonesty. And of course, Barak, the defense minister who recently resigned, is a criminal. And certainly Netanyahu, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations in years past, certainly totally subservient to the American government. A lot of people will try to tell you Israel controls America. The Zionists who control the Israeli government control America. And nothing could be further from the truth. Netanyahu does exactly what he is told. He always has since the American establishment, what I call the Brotherhood, placed him in power, Netanyahu in power, in Israel today. Barry, go right ahead and pick up the story.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, yeah, our defense minister who resigned today very suspiciously, well, he was the leader of the Israeli armed forces. Now, I know all about him. He was in my war.
That is Barak for our listeners. Go ahead.
Ehud Barak, yeah. It's Ehud Barak. Now, I knew Barak from the war I fought in, and that was the Lebanon War of 1982. Over the hill from our position is a place called Sultan Yaakov. It's on the shores of Lake Karun in Lebanon. Now, the brigade commander, that is Avigdor Ben-Gal, left on a jeep tour with his intelligence officer, Mickey Schatz. Now, it's because of Schatz and an interview he did with a magazine called Kol Ha'ir, we We found out what Barack did as soon as they left. Barack was holding a map of Syrian positions.
Now, what was Barack's position at that time in that war?
Oh, I think he was no more than a major.
All right, he was a major in the military, and he was holding a map. And suddenly, once the commander of this was really a tank unit, wasn't it, an armored unit?
Well, Barack did hold a map.
Okay, so what did he do with the map?
He ordered a religious tank division into an ambush. Needless to say, without orders from his commander, he did this to ruin Begin's victory. We were winning in Lebanon, and then all kinds of strange events took place that caused us to lose.
And this was Menachem Begin was in charge at that time, and he was certainly a good man. And they wanted to embarrass him. Is that it?
They sure did. This ambush cost the lives of 23 Israeli soldiers caused by Barack. And by the way, just as many were wounded, and a bunch were taken prisoner. It was a major fiasco. Barack, who led this war as the defense minister, he's a mass murderer. It's just so depressing. That's who led the armed forces. Now, who led everybody else, the commander-in-chief? Well, that was none other than, Benjamin Netanyahu, who was placed in power in the 70s by the Republican wing of the Council on Foreign Relations. I just put in the 1988 Council on Foreign Relations annual report, and lo and behold, member number 2804 is Netanyahu Benjamin. Now, the reason I bring up this, even if people think the Council on Foreign Relations is a great organization and good for Netanyahu, what it all means is Netanyahu is just this stooge of of the CFR, that's for sure. But it's a long history, and in short, he was promoted by George Bush Sr. and George Shultz and Richard Pearl. All these CFR guys made Netanyahu first the ambassador, the deputy ambassador to Washington, followed by the UN ambassador, and they put him in power, and he was the commander-in-chief of this war. Now, I'm going to read something directly, and it's in a very important part of the article I wrote. Now, it comes from Defense News, and here's the report. Just as the upcoming, the recent war was starting, just before the largest Israel-U.S. air defense drill concluded under combat conditions as simulations and pre-planned live fire were conducted amid actual rocket salvos from Gaza and exchanges along Israel's border with Syria. Allow me to continue so you understand where this war came from. Army multi-front engagement scenarios designed for the thousands of U.S. and Israeli forces participating in Austere Challenge 2012 grew exceedingly realistic in the closing days of the biennial drill as operators and joint task force commanders from U.S. European Command, EUCOM, witnessed at least four operational intercepts by the Israeli Iron Dome system. By the time the drill culminated on November 12th with live fire from U.S. Patriot advanced missiles, more than 120 rockets, including extended-range grads, have been fired on the Israeli home front, forcing hundreds of thousands of residents into their... November 14th, the day after the drill officially concluded, the Israeli military launched Operation Pillar of Defense, a widespread aerial campaign aimed at reducing the rocket and missile threat from Gaza. Now, I want you to know something. I'm going to say this outright. The so-called was just a binational provocation to test a new missile system. That all the dates and all the positions and all the officers and all the forces were all there the day before Israel attacked Gaza. I don't buy it. I think a plan was made to provoke Gaza so that the new Iron Dome system, by the way, built in large part by Raytheon, the American corporation, just to see how it would work in an actual attack. That's what I think happened. And by the way, I would stake my life on it. Now, what you've got is a terrible backfire. Terrible for Israel. Look, the first was a loss of security. Once felt in the two biggest cities, Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, which were never struck by missiles previously, this time they were both targeted. That did not do a lot for the morale of those cities. But looking at this Iron Dome system, again, you're getting the baloney from Israel that what a success it is and we can stop missiles. Utter garbage. Now, I quoted two people. The first was in his Ben Yehuda, I believe his name was. He was an IDF spokesman. What he wrote, here's what he wrote. The Iron Dome is depicted by the Israeli press, the hero of the present war, having intercepted many rockets. As Yedioth Ahronoth's editorial explained yesterday, thanks to the Iron Dome, Israel has not been forced to deal with the real threat emanating from Gaza. Moreover, there are those who see Iron Dome as a catastrophic development that has allowed Israel to sit by idly as Hamas reaches the ability to effectively hit Israel's largest population center. In short, there are a lot more Israeli casualties. As I say, over 200. If it wasn't for the Iron Dome, Israel would have been forced to smash Hamas years ago when it was bombarded by rockets. That's one interpretation. In short, the Iron Dome just promotes catastrophic apathy. But another point of view is it didn't work. And I received this from... Oops, I hear the music.
Go right ahead. You received what now? That basically, people over in Israel are pointing out the fact that it's not that many missiles, really.
Not that many, 1,400.
How many missiles got through?
About 75%.
75% of the missiles got through, and they want to tell us this is a great defense system? Ladies and gentlemen, they're lying to the Israeli people. They're lying to the army. But big things are in the offing, I fear. I think terrible times lie ahead for the Israeli people. But I also believe terrible times lie ahead for the American people, because I believe our government is fostering so much of what's going on in the world today. Go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I took an article from Roy Tov. He's an Israeli, lives in Bolivia. He's an expatriate and not of his choice. But he, well, here's what he wrote. I mean, he's an Army background, and he's no schmo. What he wrote about Iron Dome, what he wrote about this whole war, his words. Hebrew media insists that something went very wrong for Israel in Operation Pilf and Indecisive. Most articles portray the Iron Dome anti-missile system as the hero of the hour while criticizing the Israeli Air Force. Now, here's where, let's just go right into his words again. Israel is showing such a strong combination of bad memory and poor analytic capabilities, then one must ask oneself whether this is an intentional tactic aimed at disguising an actual date of a ground attack in Gaza. He apparently wants to believe that Israel's just fooling the enemy, and he's so wrong about this. But what he goes on, with their foiled magic, they claim the interception rate is 90%. Now, this is from another, he wrote another article, the war had not yet ended, and he provided the complete data, courtesy of the IDF, showing that 700 missiles of the 1,000 fired by Hamas hit Israel. That amounts to a 70-cent failure of Iron Dome. Now, I've heard the Israeli saying we ones that weren't going to hit urban areas and stuff like that. But again, a lot of damage was done by these missiles. He carries on. I can imagine an Israeli general jumping on his chair after reading this and beginning a tirade against me. Iron Dome was not deployed in the cities that were hit. But what he says, and this is his point, one of the characteristics of anti-missile weapons is their being non-symmetric. Building missiles is much cheaper than an anti-missile system. A Qassam rocket costs $100, and by the way, there are a lot of groups in Gaza that can build them now. While an Iron Dome anti-missile is evaluated at $50,000 per unit, and I've read higher, by the way. Invariably, there would be more missiles than anti-missiles. It is an intrinsic characteristic of this type of event and must be taken into account in the sampling. Luckily enough, an event including 1,000 missiles can be easily analyzed using the entire event without recurring to statistical sampling techniques. Iron Dome...
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Samish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply commenting on an article written by an Israeli expatriate living in Bolivia, pointing out there were about 1,000 missiles fired into Israel, about 700 of them actually hit.
In the first 6 days.
Right, the first 6 days. So basically you're talking about a 70% failure rate of Iron Dome, and yet they're trying to tell the Israeli people, this is wonderful. I mean, we have this wonderful means of defense, and certainly, why only 700 of the 1,000 got through? Well, certainly Barry's simply pointing out that's a 70% failure rate. Well, of course, they justified it. They said, well, we didn't try to shoot them down. They weren't going to hit on the city. So, but they've got all sorts of excuses. But the real truth of the matter is, why, of course, the Iron Dome was a failure. Go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, that's how Roy Tove concludes. He says Iron Dome is a failure. Now, look, this gets a little tricky. We were told that it didn't shoot anything that was headed into the sea or the mountains or the desert. It only went for the ones headed for the city. Nonetheless, oh boy, I would not want to live in Israel from here on in. All right. Now, if I were in Hamas, I'd actually be really, really ticked off. I mean, no one came to their rescue. Although Iran took all kinds of credit from a safe distance, claiming it supplied the long-range Fajr rockets which terrorized the country. Now, look, I just excuse the Iranians' tendency towards hyperbole. No, just lying. I mean, you can't believe any reports, but if you learn how to read what they send out, you can actually discern what is being planned for the next round. And I took a report, well, here's what it says. Iran has armed terror groups with chemicals. With its rockets being fired on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem by Hamas, the Iranians are gloating. They're taking credit for the blast raining down on Israel and letting them know that the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei he's the supreme leader behind the missiles that Gaza is shooting off. But this source was WND. They have a source in the Revolutionary Guard, and I think I can trust them. I'll quote. Their source in the Revolutionary Guard's intelligence division reveals what the Iranians have not yet announced: chemical and microbial weapons on Israel's border. Now, I knew this. It's very old news to me, all right?
Well, I think it's important for our listeners to understand that there are a lot of chemical and biological weapons in Syria today, and of course they may very well fall into the hands of the terrorists. As I believe the ruler of Abbas, anyway, the ruler of Syria is doing everything they can to keep those chemical and biological weapons out of the hands of the terrorists. But if once they get in the hands of the terrorists, we can assume they'll be raining down on Israel. Now, where did the Syrians get the biological and chemical weapons? They got them from Saddam Hussein. Where did Saddam Hussein get those biological and chemical weapons? Why, we gave them the technology to build those back in the 1980s.
Well, I'm talking about Hamas.
Okay, we go right ahead. But of course, the question is, where would Hamas be getting
from? From Iran.
All right, go ahead.
We know that the Sinai has become a smuggling route for all kinds of stuff from not just Iran. By the way, you've got Sudan. And you've got all kinds of stuff coming from Libya. In short, Hamas had all kinds of chemical, meaning gas warheads, and they didn't use them this time around. Now, in a way, who could blame them? They were caught off guard by this attack. Look, neither Hezbollah nor the PLO contributed more rocket chaos in the north and the center of Israel. Next time they won't be so remiss.
Well, I think we have lots of unanswered questions. Why did Hezbollah, I mean, certainly if I was Hezbollah, I would have launched an attack on Israel at that time, and they didn't do it. So there are a lot of unanswered questions. Why did Hamas use the chemical weapons, which they probably do have? I think that I would like to suggest things are different, and yet, of course, Israel's caught in the middle and I think faces serious, serious problems. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Barry Shamish. But ladies and gentlemen, we're on the edge of terrible, terrible wars that are going to be using chemical and biological weapons. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, let's go from from the last point, why didn't they use the gas? Now, remember, Israel was on the border ready to attack Gaza, and I think that was one of the reasons they didn't use the gas this time around. But next time around, they're going to coordinate a war next time around. Make no doubt about it. This is not the end of the war. And the absurdity of Egypt guarding the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is utterly, completely absurd. Right, just keep in mind, but Egypt could be... We'll see where Egypt goes, but I don't think they're going to be the ceasefire mediator forever. They're going to join in an attack just because their country is in a mess, and it's an old trick. Let's just switch the emphasis on Israel and get the whole country behind us. Same with Syria. And Syria has been tossing all kinds of mortars over the Israeli border in the last month. And Iran also may just say, well, let's join a coordinated multi-front end of Israel war. And now be logical. Ask yourself, what have they got to lose? If you think, listen, if you think 1,400 missiles in 8 days was a terrifying headache for Israel, imagine if all these forces coordinated and shot off 10,000 in the first hour. And frankly, you don't have to imagine. Start to understand a unified enemy willing to soak Israel's blows and then rebuild once Israel is finally out of its hair. And that's what they're planning. Make no doubt about it. The next war is going to be very different. Now,
I want you to hold that thought. We're going to bring all of our stations back on board. And our guest, of course, is Barry Shamish, and we'll do that right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry says, of course, the next war is going to be a terrible, terrible war. Certainly, they have Hezbollah in the north, and certainly they will have access, if they don't already have them, to the chemical weapons. Certainly, Hamas probably already has chemical weapons. They did not use them this time, but they will. Certainly, there's a revolutionary ferment. Certainly, in Jordan at the present time, certainly Iran would certainly like to attack Israel. Certainly, I believe that. And Barry feels that the next war is going to be far different than this war. This war, we now have a ceasefire. But, of course, we have Egypt, certainly been taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood, incidentally, thanks to the policies of our CIA and our government. And that is not the American government. That is this what I call the invisible government that controls America and is using our financial and military power to topple all the governments over in that part of the world and bring them under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is what the average American can't understand. After all, it's Christmas season. We're going to buy a lot of wonderful presents. But what about all the people who are being killed over there with weapons supplied by America and financing supplied by America? And I believe God is going to one day bring his judgment on America because of the apathy and indifference of the American people towards the suffering that is being created by American financial assistance to terrorist movements throughout the Middle East and the Near East. Go right ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'm going to plug me right now. I have a book. It's going to be coming out within 2 weeks, I think. It's called The Stinger, Not the Stung. If you want to know what led to this disaster of the past war, that's the book. Someday, soon, it'll be at lulu.com. That's where all my books are, www.lulu.com. There's a search box right in my name, Chamish. That's how you spell Chamish. You'll get to my books. And my website is barrychamish.com. Now let's go back to what has gone on in Israel. Suddenly, this alcoholics Secretary of State Clinton comes to the region. Now, supposedly she is going to put an end to the war. What a method. She chose Egypt to be the mediator. But, of course, Egypt wouldn't speak to Israel, but Israel will have to accept them as the mediator, even though they don't talk to Israel. This wacky scenario, by the way, really happened, right? Israel suddenly announced that they were going to take the American ceasefire, the Clinton ceasefire, and which declares that the Egyptian government, the Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi, is going to guarantee no gunfire between Israel and Hamas. In short, why on earth would Israel accept such a wacky, stupid deal like this? And Israelis didn't want it. Now, you have to understand, Israel needed some peace of mind. They had just spent 8 days, not just in the south this time, all through the country, terrified to walk out of their homes. They know that Hamas can build their own rockets for $100, let's say 500 tops. And they know that an Iron Dome rocket costs $50,000 to $100,000, depending on the source. Israel can be bled with such an imbalance. The only victory that Israel could have had, and I'm not saying it wouldn't have been bloody, but they had to do it. They had to go into Gaza, defeat Hamas, shut down the missile manufacturing for good, and install the closest thing they could get to a peace-loving regime in its place. That was the only war. If your country had just been shelled with 1,400 missiles, why on earth wouldn't you do that? And the Israeli public, now look at this. Now keep in mind that in this poll I'm about to quote, that 20% of the respondents were Arabs. Here's the Channel 2 poll. Israelis oppose ceasefire 70% to 24%. Israel Television 2 reported minutes before the ceasefire went into effect that a poll of Israelis finds strong opposition. Now, again, take away the Arabs. Practically all. The real thing, over 80-85% of Israelis didn't want a ceasefire. The one that Hillary Clinton shoved down their throat. And we'll talk about how she managed to shove it down Israel's throat. The point is, Israel had to fight. If not for genuine peace, that's not a possibility, at least for a peace of mind. They had to put an end to the rockets. Now, I've been reading all kinds of various informed sources, and I didn't quote them because their information has not always been so informed. What they've got is this drunken Secretary of State threatening to the end of the Sinai peace accord with Egypt, the end of the Jordan-Israel peace agreement. If Israel didn't accept the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood as the mediator of the ceasefire. They were told that's it. You don't have peace with anybody if not. Now, I want you to just notice before I carry on a little bit what it meant for Israel to depend on Egypt to keep the peace between it and Hamas. You want to talk about a lousy agreement, one that is guaranteed to be broken. Well, that's this one, all right. But the day after Clinton left the Middle East and Egypt agreed to mediate the ceasefire, Morsi announced that he was the living God and Egypt would have to accept him as such and accept Sharia law. The day after Clinton takes off, he agrees to mediate. And by the way, I've been hearing this from Israeli government sources. I heard Carl Levine say this. It's so stupid that, yeah, he's being a little rough, this Morsi. And, yeah, he wants to shove Sharia law down the country's throat. But he might be able to be a real good mediator for the Gaza-Israel peace. There's something wrong. Really something wrong. How could Morsi have the courage, once Clinton was out of there, to declare he declared Sharia law as taking over the country and the courts aren't worth anything and I'm the real leader of the court. Unless Clinton was told, in return for us agreeing to be the mediator, you just let us do our stuff in our country. Unless Clinton agreed to that, well, then America was taken for a ride by Egypt. And I frankly don't believe America was taken for a ride. I think there was a payoff. And no matter how you look at it, the timing is ridiculous. The day after Clinton leaves, you've got a brand new Arab Spring in Tahrir Square. The day after she leaves, the day after Egypt becomes a peacemaker sanctioned by the United States, he declares Sharia. Look,
but basically, Barry, remember that it was the American military that placed both Afghanistan and Iraq under Sharia law. We put up those constitutions. We brought those countries under Sharia law. We were instrumental in transferring the control in Turkey and bringing Turkey under the Muslim Brotherhood. We are bringing Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood to all those countries over there, and it doesn't make sense unless we are intentionally and purposely and maliciously creating the best enemy that money could buy. Otherwise, there's no logical explanation for anything going on over there. But go right ahead. And I certainly, Hillary Clinton is playing her part just beautifully, I believe.
Well, she wasn't alone in this. Again, reading all these experts, her president threatened the end of American funding for the Iron Dome system if Israel resisted his wishes. And as I say, Raytheon, they're the major manufacturer of the Iron Dome system. But here is what Israelis were told. There was a sweetener. And because, honest to goodness, Israel accepting this wacky Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood mediation agreement is pure suicide. And pure suicide. I'm not going to describe it any other way. No one in the right mind would accept this kind of an agreement. But we were told that the sweetener, Obama promised to place American troops in the Sinai to stop rocket smuggling from actually everywhere, all through Africa, all the way to Iran. They use the Sinai to get to Gaza. That's the major smuggling route. He said American troops would be in the Sinai within a week to put an end to it. Therefore, Netanyahu, in his victory speech, said that Israel won. Look what we got. The real problem is, itty-bitty little Hamas declared that it won, and you add up you add it all up. You know what? They're right. The damage to Israel was enormous, to its morale was enormous. As for in Gaza, they're proud of themselves. They stood up to Israel and they're in the right, and they're going to win because they're in the right. Look, I've said this before, and that's the reason why I called the article what I did. I said the next war will be Israel's last. Its enemies have morale. Israel, the people, wanted to put an end to the rockets. Their government, by the way, in a huge majority, their government sold them out to the Egyptians. And again, we can go through Hillary Clinton and the Council on Foreign Relations and who Netanyahu really is and all that kind of stuff. The fact of the matter is, let's look at what they agreed to. Here is the actual agreement. It should be noted that under the terms of the agreement, the only thing that Israel can do in response to attacks is to file a complaint with Egypt. And he repeats, if Israel is attacked, it would still be a violation of the agreement for Israel to respond. Now follow this. This is straight from this brilliant ceasefire. By the same token, if Israel saw terrorists in the middle of launching attacks against Israel, it would be a violation for Israel to try and stop the attack. And here is the relevant passage from the agreement. Each party shall commit itself not to perform any acts that would breach this understanding. The case of any observations of Egypt as the sponsor of this understanding shall be informed and shall be the party to follow up. And so let's look at Egypt's sympathies.
But basically, Barry, if you look at that, it doesn't make any sense. It absolutely makes no sense. And so if it doesn't make any sense, there has to be another explanation. Go right ahead.
Oh, what a threat. This is what we're being sold. I mean, of course there are other explanations. Look, America came to the Middle East after their big joint drill with the Israelis. After they, look, the whole thing was provoked by America, the whole thing from beginning to end. And the Israeli government fell into line. Look, I'm going to give you another example of something very, very strange that happened in the wake of this war, which, by the way, I watch Israeli news now every day. The delusions are just appalling. Appalling. The praise for the Iron Dome, and we're going to build more of them, and this will defend us against anything. Appalling. But something happened today. The Likud party is having its primaries. They're electing their list for the upcoming election. Now, a little problem. The elections took place yesterday on Sunday, and today, Monday, all the computers collapsed and none of the votes counted. They had to re-vote. They blamed hackers on it. I watched the news, and an awful lot of people suspect that explanation, because if you're old, it's hard enough to get out and vote, wait in line one day. So you arrange transportation and you get the voters out. Try and do it 2 days in a row and see what that does to your vote, and see how in some way it helps Netanyahu maintain power.
If you don't like the way the vote comes, well, you just do it over again. You keep doing it over again until you get the result, or you simply cheat. That's the way the elections are held today, ladies and gentlemen, increasingly. And certainly, I believe, certainly the electoral process has been violated. I believe every one of the voting machines can be rigged. In fact, there is even testimony about one of the fellows actually paid to rig the voting machines. But you never, of course, you're going to hear that across America. That's what the hanging chads were all about in the year 2000. Convince the American people that we need electronic voting machines. And then, of course, we send them to the polls every 4 years to vote. But the elections don't matter. They're already determined ahead of time here and, I suspect, in Israel. Barry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. I'm going to just wrap it up with one thing I did not include in my article today. And by the way, this article is getting pretty serious reaction. And wow, my book has already sold over 50. If my webmaster can get it out in the market, I'll survive a little while longer. I didn't include the fact that Israel was responsible for the founding of Hamas. Now, this goes back to the late 70s. It was a balance against the PLO. Religion was viewed as less of a problem than the secular PLO. And, well, without them, Israel would, there would be no Hamas. Look, all I can say is maybe they're right. Maybe the seculars are worse than the religious. Well, look, Arafat's body is being exhumed and being examined for the next couple of days by a team of doctors to find out if he was poisoned. And now, frankly, I could care less how he died. But if he was poisoned, if there is a hint that there was any sort of poison found in him, boy, is Israel going to have a headache from not Hamas necessarily, but the PLO from the West Bank. That's what's coming up. Now, I personally, I know a little about him. I think he died of AIDS. He was a terrible pedophile, and it was recorded by the Romanian intelligence. What was his name? Yosef? Oh, it slipped. Nonetheless, the evidence was darn good that he was a pedophile, and AIDS is not out of the question. But if they find out that they found radium in him and there were signs of poisoning, boy, what a headache is coming up for Israel, ceasefire or not.
And that's the polonium-220 that they found on his clothing, and that's the basis for exhuming the body. It's polonium. But go right ahead.
No, you're the boss on that.
Okay, fine. We're out of time, Perry, but fascinating. All sorts of terrible things are coming up. I think that Israel is going to move into a period of chaos and crisis, but I believe, of course, America will be moving into a period of chaos and crisis in the not-too-distant future. I think that we're certainly just churning up a terrible, terrible conflict. It's only a matter of time. However, we look forward to having you with us again next week, and because I think we need to keep our listeners on the front lines of this battle. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for that great article.
Oh, my pleasure. I look forward to next week as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Barry thinks that Israel that actually created Hamas, that's partly true. Israel, working along with America, created Hamas. That's the old, age-old pattern of created the best enemies money could be by. People have forgotten. Who was it who put the terrible Iranian government in power under the Ayatollah Khomeini? Why, the American CIA. Of course they did. Who was it who actually created Hamas? Why, of course, the United States and Israel created certainly Hamas. And this whole move towards this radical form of Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood has been created and financed by the United States and their allies in Great Britain. We carry a book. It's called The Devil's Game. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, Where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? The Muslim Brotherhood, which controls Egypt today and Libya and Tunisia and certainly is behind what's going on in Syria and is responsible for what's taken place in Turkey and in Lebanon and certainly is now has a powerful influence in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Where did the Muslim Brotherhood come from? It was created by British intelligence in 1928. Muslim Brotherhood was created by the British intelligence, MI6, in 1928 and turned over to the CIA following World War II, and the CIA has been funding it ever since then. Why would we do that? Why, for the best enemy money could buy, just exactly the same manner that was all during the Second World War and before the Second World War. American corporations and American banks, specifically Brown Brothers Harriman, led by Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker, financed Adolf Hitler, the best enemies money could buy. You need to get our material, ladies and gentlemen. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21. Agenda 21, the covert plan. If you want to know about America financing the Nazis, the books are Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham, and The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan by Dennis Ketty. You can actually get three of those four books from Radio Liberty. The America's Nazi Plan by John Loftus, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan by Professor Dennis Ketty. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is the way the world really works. We finance the Nazis, but we can't let the American people know that. We can't, and of course, now, of course, the Germans are our good friends. Operation Paperclip, why, that's, of course, how we brought well over 1,000 vicious Nazi war criminals to America to develop our biological warfare unit, our psychological programs that are being used on the American people today to build our rockets. And, of course, that's Operation Paperclip. We have a four-tape set on that, including the interviews with the author of the book, Operation Paperclip. And then, of course, we get into the background of what happened in South America, where the United States government actively financed the rat line and financed the Nazi war criminals, between 50 and 100,000 Nazi war criminals in Africa, in South America following World War II, The Secret War Against the Jews. That's the book, The Secret War Against the Jews, or better still, my four interviews, CD interviews with John Loftus, who had a security clearance three levels above top secret, the four CD set, The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews. When you understand the history of World War II, you can understand what's going on over in the Near East and Middle East today as we plan for a terrible war with the Muslim Brotherhood that we financed from its inception. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with gold. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is the Monday after Thanksgiving. Hope you had a wonderful one. Hopefully you did the I'm thankful for thing with your family. Hopefully you spent some time thinking about what that day is all about and how much we have to be thankful for. We really do. 26th of November. It is a Monday. 2012 is the year. Whoa, Fox is doing a countdown. Have you heard about it? Countdown to December 21st. Yeah, they did their first show I saw of what's going to happen on the 21st. And, of course, the bottom line is we'll all be here. Everything will be fine. But here's what the story is. Kind of an interesting story to follow. Who says and why do they say after all these years coming down to pinpoint one date in which something may or may not happen. There may be a transition. That's what some people think. And a good one, I can imagine, would be that perhaps we would all come together and realize we are all in this together. Well, I'm still getting the